There's really no answer to the question that satisfies the human mind. For many, this would be considered foolishness, that Christ would die in behalf of sinners. And humanly speaking, that's because when we think of someone dying in behalf of someone, we think that there is some value or some worth in that person that we would die for them. But that is not the case with us as sinners. In fact, it says that while we were sinners, while we were enemies with God, Christ died for us. So what is it dependent on? The scripture says that when the kindness of God, our Savior, and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us. And it was not on the basis of anything that we have done, whether it be deeds or practices, but it was strictly according to the mercy of God that He has saved us. And you and I are all in the same condition. And it is because of sin that we are all deserving of eternal punishment. But God, through Christ, provides us salvation. Provides salvation to those who choose to repent and believe. And this is why we can say of the friend that is greater than any other friend, what a friend for sinners. A story that helps illustrate what Christ, God's Son, did in behalf of sinners. And I just want to share that with you. It says this: there was a guard, and the guard had an interesting job. He worked on the river, and his job was to raise and lower a drawbridge that spanned a large river. One day he decided to take his son. His son was fascinated by what his father did and wanted to spend a day with him, so he did that. The job of raising and lowering the bridge didn't seem so significant. But there was one time each day when it became very critical, because at 4 o'clock the bridge had to be raised to let a ferry through, and at 4:15 it had to be lowered because there was a passenger train rattling through the countryside at top speed. On this fateful day, the guard let his son wander out of the guardhouse and venture down to get a better look at the ferry boat. And he got a little too close to areas he shouldn't, and he fell, and his foot got caught in the gears. And the father looked from out of the guardhouse and realized that he had to put the bridge down because the train was coming with all of its cars and all of its passengers. But if he put the bridge down, he would kill his son. On the other hand, he could run down and rescue his son, and the train would plunge into the river and everyone would be drowned. At that point, he was shocked back into reality because the train whistle could be heard in the distance. He had two choices. He owed his son a lot. He was his son. He owed the passengers nothing. He didn't even know them. And if he was to lower the bridge at the expense of his own son, it would be purely an act of love and mercy. But once he decided to do that, he would have to give up his own son, which he ended up doing. The scripture says that God did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. What a gift that we have been given, that God gives his son in behalf of sinners as a substitute because of our sin. The next song that we're going to sing, very familiar throughout the years. When Peace Like a River, and it's sung at many different events. Sometimes it's sung at a place like this, such as a gospel meeting where the gospel is being presented, the good news of salvation. Other times it's presented when there could be a loss of a loved one. And why is it the case? Because it provides so much comfort and assurance to those who know that they will spend eternity with Christ in glory. And it should challenge our hearts to consider really the state of our soul as we sing this song, It Is Well. Why don't we stand? And we'll sing the first verse, the second verse, and then the chorus, the third verse, the fourth verse, and then the chorus again.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrow like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well,
Lord Jesus, we are so thankful tonight that we have the privilege to sing to Thee, to praise Thee, to acknowledge what You have done for us, even to view what we just watched, and how Thou didst come to seek and to save, to give hope, blessed Lord Jesus. And so we pray now as we are going to read some passages in the Word of God. We ask that You will bless Thy Word, Lord. And we ask that if there is anyone here that is yet without the knowledge of sins forgiven, we pray that You will open his or her heart tonight, for we ask it in Your precious name. Amen. Amen. I would like to read a short passage in the Gospel of Luke. And I hope everyone have a Bible. Those of you who have no Bible can lift up your hand. Joe going to give you a Bible. And I would like you to turn with me to the Gospel of Luke to chapter 7 tonight. And I would like to read and to speak with all of us about the person of the Lord Jesus, as we have been just singing about and watching just before us, and the reason that He came to this world, and how wonderful to know that He came to seek and to save those who were lost. In Luke chapter 7, we have a wonderful story that is beginning from verse 36. And please follow with me. I'm going to read those 15 verses, beginning from verse 36 to the end of the chapter. And one of the Pharisees desired Him, this is desired the Lord Jesus, that He would eat with him, and He went into the Pharisee's house, and He sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat to eat in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster box of ointment, and she stood at His feet behind Him weeping, and began to wash His feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hair of her head. And she kissed His feet, and she anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden Him, saw it, he spake within himself, and he said, "This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touched him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answering, and he said unto him, "Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee." And he said, "Say on, master." "There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most?" Simon answered and he said, "I suppose that he to whom he forgave most." And he said unto him, "Thou had rightly judged." And he turned to the woman and he said, "Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint. But this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom a little forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat to eat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgives sins also? And he said unto the woman, thy faith hath made thee, or hath saved thee, go in peace. And I stop here with the reading of that passage. Luke chapter 7, verses 36 to 50. Ladies and gentlemen, young people, I would like to suggest this evening that in the group in which we find ourselves this evening, tonight, there are two kinds of people here in this meeting hall. Some of us are here, people who came to know the Lord Jesus as our Lord and our Savior, and we are sinners who are forgiven. We are sinners who are saved and going to glory and going to heaven. On the other hand, I would suggest that perhaps there is someone here tonight that is a sinner, that he or she do not have the assurance of going to glory or going to heaven. And these are the two groups that we have here in this room. I wish to God that we can all say this evening, I know that my sins are forgiven. I know that I'm going to heaven. I know that Jesus the Messiah gave his life for me. But perhaps there is someone here that is yet without the Lord Jesus. To you, I would like to share those thoughts tonight. In the Gospels, we oftentimes find the two lines of truth. Matthew, when he presents the message of the gospel, and he's saying, many times you will find him saying, you either a wise man or you are foolish man. Matthew is saying to the readers, those who read the scriptures, he's saying to them, you either wise in your decision making or you are foolish in your decision making. And I trust that all of us can say tonight that we are wise because we came to know the Lord Jesus as our Savior. On the other hand, the Gospel of Mark, as we read in the New Testament, Mark is presenting the Lord Jesus as the servant, and Mark is saying, really, some are in and some are out. You might be in the kingdom of God. You might be in and be part of the church of the living God, but some are out, yet waiting to come in and waiting to make that decision to come to be inside part of the family of God. Here in this Gospel of Luke, we learn very much and very clearly that some are saved. Saved for glory. Saved from sin. Saved for God. Saved for heaven. And others are unsaved. They have no assurance that their sins are forgiven. In the Gospel of John, we learn that there are two ways, two places to go. We either go to heaven or we go to hell. We either go to the eternal place of bliss with God, or we either go to eternal separation from God. And there is only two places, either heaven or hell, or finally the lake of fire. Jesus came to this world to seek and to save them which were lost. Wonderful story here in Luke chapter 7. As you read the whole chapter 7, wherever the Lord Jesus walked on earth, wherever he went, he always blessed the people around him. In the beginning part of this chapter, we find him healing the centurion servant who was sick. Later on, in the next verses, verses 11 to 18, we find him raising the widow's son. As we move on in our chapter, we find him encouraging a discouraging person by the name of John the Baptizer. In the passage that we have before us this evening, we find him meeting the need of those that reach out to him. We find that we have a repentant sinner in the first verses that I read. And then later on, we have a self-righteous sinner in the next verses. And finally, as I have read in this chapter, we have a forgiven Savior who is willing to forgive those that come to him by faith. And look at this. In the first verses, just follow up with me. We find a repented sinner. I know we have a lot of problem today for men and women and people to recognize that they are sinners by nature. I don't know if you have acknowledged this in your own heart and your conscience. You have to realize that there is a holy God who demand righteousness, and the Bible tells us in the book of Romans that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Here we have a repentant sinner who came to the Lord recognizing what he have done for her. And so a Pharisee invited him into his home to eat with him. And how wonderful to see that the Lord, wherever he walked here on earth, he went for every opportunity that he had, whether it is the poor and the needy, or whether it is the rich and the wealthy, whether it was the unreligious individual or the religious individual, he took the opportunity to go to the homes to meet with people. And so he went to the Pharisee's house. And as he's sitting there to eat with the rest of the family there in his home, look what we read in verse 37 and 38. We read of a certain woman of the city, and the Bible says very clearly that she was a sinner. Now that word, the thought of her being a sinner, her life was not in order. She lived in her life, practically she lived a life that was not honoring to God. She was living a life that was dishonoring to God. She was a sinner. Now everyone was in this city a sinner, but she externally lived a life that was not right. And she came to the house where Jesus was sitting. Now she must have heard of him already. She had heard of him that he was the promised Messiah of the nation of Israel. She had heard of him that he was coming to this world. She had already must have heard of what he had done and the promises that he had promised, that he was heading on to go to the cross to give his life a ransom for many. And she came to him. And she knew that she was not right with God. She knew that she needed the forgiveness from this wonderful person, the Lord Jesus. So she came into the house. And look what a beautiful thing that this lady have done, knowing who he was, knowing what he was going to accomplish, knowing that he was the promised one, the one that was heading to the cross of Calvary to give his life. She knew what he was coming to do, so she came. And she went to the house and went, as it says here in verse 38, she stood at his feet and she was weeping. Now, why do you think she was weeping? She was weeping. She knew very well the kind of life that she lived. She knew very, very, very well that she was not right with God. She knew very well who is this person is. She knew she was broken before him. She was a repentant sinner. And she wept. And as she was weeping, we find out here, she brought with her an alabaster box of ointment. And what we read here, she began to wash his feet with her tears. At the feet of the Lord Jesus. She recognized who he was, and she took this ointment, which has much value, and she poured it at his feet. weeping and wiping the feet with her hair and kissing his feet, acknowledging who he was. When we think about the feet of the Lord Jesus, the Bible teaches us many times of the feet. You know, the Psalms tell us, kiss the Son, lest ye perish from the way. The kissing of his feet will suggest the fact that she was bowing to who he was, recognizing that he was the Savior of sinners. And she kissed his feet. She washed his feet with tears. She wiped them with her hairs, the hair of her head, and she kissed, and she anointed them with ointment. All this shows to us, young people, ladies and gentlemen, friends, it showed to us that she recognized who he was. And she recognized that she needed him. She recognized that she was a sinner and she repented before him and thanked him for what he was providing for her. Even though he haven't gone to the cross, but we see here, he haven't gone yet to the cross, but we see here a repented individual who repenting from his or her sins. Now let me ask you a question. What about you? Have you repented of your sin and sins? Have you recognized that as far as God's concerned, you are part of this fallen human race, that you, just like me and everyone else in this room, that all of us have sinned. And we all came short of the glory of God, and God demand perfection, and we all have sinned. We came short. The Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 6 that the wages of sin is death. The punishment that we deserve because of our sin and sin is eternal damnation. All have sinned. And here is this woman. She was confessing in a sense what you see here. The fact that she was so broken before him. Recognizing her condition and turning to him. Pouring this ointment. Wiping his feet with her hair. Kissing his feet. Her tears flowing down. Recognizing who she really was standing before. And here we see a repented sinner coming to the Lord. Jesus in Matthew chapter 11 said, come unto me all ye that labor and a heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said this before he died on the cross. In anticipation of one day going to the cross and paying for the price of the sin of the world. Isaiah said to the nation of Israel in chapter 1 of the prophet Isaiah, come and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Come, he said. Let us reason together. What a God we have, who is willing to reason with us, to talk with us, to share with us, and to draw us to himself. Come, he is inviting. And here we see this woman came to him, broken before him, recognizing who he was. And worshiping at his feet. I said that there are two groups in this room. And I would like you to see that we don't only have a repentant sinner here in Luke chapter 7. But we also have a self-righteous sinner in the same room. You might be that one here tonight. You might say, Mr. Gideon, don't you tell me that I am not right with God. You might tell me tonight, or Mr. Preacher, I know I'm fine. I haven't done anything bad. I'm okay, and you don't tell me what I need to do. But let me tell you what the Bible says. The Bible tells us very clearly, and you will see it in a moment, that God would like everyone to recognize that he or she are sinners, because if you are self-righteous sinner, you will end up to be separated from God. Not only for time, but also for eternity. And so in the next verses, verses 39 to 43, we see a self-righteous sinner. Oh, the pride that man has in his heart. It didn't begin here. It already began as we have watched this story in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve had all the blessing that God had for them. He only told them not to eat of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. But Adam said, God, you gave me everything to the north and to the south, to the east and to the west, but you didn't give me this tree, and I want this tree. And he ate out of this tree in disobedience to God. And he plunged the whole human race into the condition in which we are today, sin and sinners in this world. Why do you think we have so many problems in this world? Why do you think we have so many wars? Why do you think we have all these hatreds and conflicts and all what is going on in this world? We have it because of the nature that we all have, the sin nature, that God must deal with it. And he did. He gave the darling of his bosom, the Lord Jesus. But look at this. Young people, ladies and gentlemen, look at the next verses. Now when the Pharisee, verse 39, which had bidden him when he saw what happened, he spake within himself. And he said, this man, if he was a prophet, he would know who and what manner this woman is that touch him, for she is a sinner. You see, young people, here is this Pharisee who knows very well and have an opinion about someone else. He knows who is a sinner outside of himself. And he's saying, and notice by the way, he spake within himself. Let me say that. Don't be fooled to think that God doesn't know what you're thinking. Don't be fooled to think that if nobody else see and know your heart, that God doesn't know your heart. The fool says in his heart, God, no. But don't be fooled, because God knows the intent of our hearts. He knows our thoughts are far off. He knows everything we have done in the past, in the present, and in the future. He knows everything about us. This Pharisee said within himself, this man, if he was a prophet, he would have known who and what manner of woman this, the one that touched him, for she is a sinner. Here's a self-righteous man who says, she's a sinner. Jesus, if he was really a prophet, he would have known who would have touched him, but I am okay. And the Lord had to teach him a lesson. You know, young people, one day, when we're going to have to stand before God, all the reasoning in the world will have to be set aside. Because the same Jesus who came in humility in the first coming, in his life here, and ultimately gave his life on the cross, is the same one who is going to be the judge of every individual. And here, this man have the audacity to point to this woman and saying she is a sinner, not recognizing that he stood before the Lord of glory, who knows his heart, who will have to judge him. And so notice, Jesus answered in verse 40. Jesus answering and he said unto him, Simon, Simon, he said to him, I have something to say unto you. And he said, Master, say on. And here the Lord is telling him a story about a creditor which had two debtors. He said in verse 41, there was a certain creditor which had two debtors. One owed 500 pence and the other owed 50. Now I want to pause here for a moment. Can you imagine the debt that each and every one of us owe to God? Can you imagine? Can you imagine the debt that we cannot pay? Can you imagine? Even in life, we know that when we borrow something and we have to give it back, and what it involves in returning and giving back that which we owe. Here he's making a comparison between one who have owed a great debt and one who owed a little bit less. But the lesson here is that every one of those two owed a debt to that creditor. And the lesson is this, that we might will not be as great sinners as this woman that we have here in the earlier verses, verse 37 and 38. And we might have a life a pretty decent. We might live morally. We are pretty good at school. We are pretty good on our job. We are trying to do things honestly and decently. And decently, we are trying to be right. And we are pretty moral, you see. But even if we are pretty moral, we have a problem. We have a debt that we owe to God. Because even all the righteous and the good deeds that we do, as far as God's concerned, it comes from a heart that is sinful. And that's why even if our debt is less than others, nevertheless the two debtors, both of them owed the debt to their creditor. And so the Lord is giving this example, and he's trying to show to this man by the name of Simon that he had to realize and recognize that he ought not to be self-righteous men. And so he said to them, you see, in verse 42, when they had nothing to pay, frankly, he forgave both of them. What a wonderful thing it is. Have you ever been forgiven? Have you ever owed a debt and the one that you owed to him or her told you, you know what, don't pay that debt. I forgive you for everything that you owe me. Here the Lord Jesus is teaching us the illustration of a person that owed much and a person who owed a little bit less, and because they could not pay the debt, there was forgiveness. And he forgave them all what they owed. Have you ever thought of the debt that we owe to God? Think about your own life for a moment. How is your life? Is everything is okay in your life? Those of us who know the Lord Jesus as our Savior can tell you very well that we ourselves know the failure, the sins that creep in into our own life. But we have a Savior who forgave and paid the debt for our sins. But what about you? Do you have your sins forgiven? Are you sure that if you will die today, God is going to receive you and forgive your sins? Are you sure of that? That's why Jesus, our Lord, came. And he forgave, he said here, those two who owe that great debt. So he's saying to Simon, and he said to him, Simon, he said, which of them will love and will respond more to the creditor? Which one of the two? And Simon said to him in verse 43, he says, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said to him, you have rightly judged. The one that will receive a greater forgiveness will respond in a greater way. The one that received a lesser forgiveness will respond in a lesser way. But nevertheless, the issue and the point that the Lord is trying to emphasize here, that He had forgiven the two debtors. And so now, we saw a repented sinner, and we saw a self-righteous sinner. I hope everyone here this evening can come to a point that they will repent of their sins and not be self-righteous sinner. You know why I hope so? And we pray so because there is a forgiving Savior. Oh, the love of the Lord Jesus towards each and every one of us is so unique, so great. We have heard earlier, for God commended His love towards us that while we were yet sinners, the Messiah, Christ, died for us. While we were yet without hope, the Lord Jesus came down from heaven to give His life for us. There is a forgiving Savior, beloved. And look what He tells us here in the next verses. So the Lord turned to the woman, and He said unto Simon, He says, Simon, look, do you see this woman? I entered into your house and you gave me no water for my feet. Do you know, in olden time, when there were no roads like today on the highway, when people were coming from the dusty road into a home, it was the Middle Eastern custom to wash the feet. Our father Abraham have done so to the angel and to the Lord when they came to meet Him at His tent. He washed their feet. But you see, Simon didn't. That's how much he thought of the Messiah of Christ. And Simon was told by the Lord, look, you didn't even put water on my feet, but this woman, verse 44, she has washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Here's that woman, who was a repented sinner, broken before the Lord, never stopped for a moment there when she came into the house of Simon to wash and to wipe his feet with her hairs. In the next verse, he said, thou hast gave me no kiss. Kiss speak of affection. But this woman, since the time that she came in, had not ceased to kiss my feet. You see, she recognized what the Lord had done for her. She recognized who is this person, and she fell prostrate at His feet. And she kissed His feet, recognizing Him, worshiping Him, adoring Him for what He is and what He's going to accomplish in the coming days. For us today, worshiping Him and recognizing what He have done for us when He died for us on the tree years ago. And then He tell him thirdly, the third no, He tell him in verse 46, my head you did not anoint, but this woman, she has anointed my feet with ointment. Three times He's saying to Simon, you did not give me water, you did not kiss me, you did not anoint me. But this woman have literally poured out her heart as a repented sinner before the Lord of glory, the Lord Jesus. And then He said in verse 47, wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom a little forgive, the same love a little. Let me make here to assure you for a moment that the tears that she shed and the kisses that she gave And the anointing that she anointed, that was not what gave her forgiveness of sins. That was a response to the Savior for what He's done for her. What forgave her sins is faith in the Lord Jesus and the work that He accomplished. But can you imagine, it says here in this verse 47, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. Are your sins forgiven? Are your sins forgiven, young people? Can you honestly say, I know that my sins are washed away? Can you say this? How we long to see you tonight if you are not saved. How we long to speak to your heart. How the Holy Spirit of God desire to reach you, reach your conscience and your heart to have the assurance that your sins are forgiven. Every sin that we have committed have been washed away through the blood that the Lord Jesus shed for us on the cross. And so he, concluding here this scene, he said unto her, looking at the woman in verse 48, and he said to her, your sins are forgiven. He gave her an assurance that her sins are forgiven. But you see, people do not understand that the Lord has the right to forgive sins. That's why the next verse, in verse 49, the people who sat there to eat with him, they began to say within themselves, he said, who is this man that can forgive sins also? Do you know, young people, that there is a, that this fact of the Lord Jesus' ability to forgive sins comes, rises to the mind of many today. Say, how can he forgive sins? How can a man forgive sins? They say. But they don't recognize the truth, and I would like to mention it right now, the truth that the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, was the eternal Son of God. He became a man, just like you and I, sin apart. He was born to the Virgin Miriam in the city of Bethlehem. He grew up in the land of Israel, lived a life, a perfect life, sinless life. And he went to the cross where they nailed him to the cross. And it is there on the cross he cried and he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? There God as a judge punished him on that cross. Turned his face away from him and judged him for the sin of this world. There the Lord Jesus bore your sins and mine. And that's why he can forgive sins. The Bible tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, you put your name there, whosoever believeth on him shall not perish but have everlasting life. The Bible tells us, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of this world. The Bible tells us, for ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish. He can forgive sins. If you will honestly tonight, will honestly repent before the Lord and be a repented sinner, and not a self-righteous sinner. There is a forgiving Savior tonight that can forgive your sins. And he can tell you, if you will confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in your heart that God had raised him from the dead, you will be saved. The Bible teaches this to us. You see, that's why at the end of the story, he says in verse 50, he said unto the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Faith in Christ, in his finished work on the cross, enable a sinner who truly repenting to be saved. And that's why we have this gospel meeting tonight. And I want to ask you before I close in prayer, are you saved tonight? Can you honestly say my sins are forgiven? If you can't, we appeal to you tonight. We ask you not to be a self-righteous sinner, but a repented sinner. A sinner that repent and have faith in the finished work of the Lord can receive forgiveness of sins and be saved. What a wonderful message we have. And I wish tonight that each and every one of us can say, I believe that Jesus have died for my sins. Now I would like to sing a song together with everyone. When we stand together and have the overhead back here on, I would like to sing that song, just as I am, without one plea, but that your blood was shed for me. Let's stand and we'll have this overhead right before us now, and before we're going to close in a word of prayer. We have the pianist can play, can help us with the music, please.
Jesus, I am thou will receive, will welcome upon.
Just to one more appeal to someone here that is still without Christ, we really would like to see you acknowledging the Lord Jesus tonight. He loves you. He cares for you. There is a Savior that is willing to forgive sinners. Don't miss that opportunity this evening. If you wish to speak to someone here at the meeting, come to us after the meeting. We'll be glad to speak with you. There is some packages or something that has been prepared for you to take with you before you go tonight. So let's just pray together, commit you to the Lord, and conclude with this meeting. Father, we want to thank you that the Lord Jesus was sent to this world to save sinners. And each one of us here is a sinner, either saved by grace, or a sinner that is lost without hope. We do pray, Father, that you will touch the hearts of those that are still without Christ, that they will acknowledge the Lord Jesus as their Savior and their Lord. Thank you for this wonderful story we read in Luke 7. Oh, Father, how wonderful to know that Jesus forgive sin and sinners. And so we commit ourselves to thee tonight. We ask thy blessing upon what have been said. We commit the rest of the conference tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday. We pray thy blessing upon the young people, Abba Father, for we ask it in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. And everyone said, Amen. 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 Thank you very much.